Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Overtone Hand, and it is the fifth day of the Blue Night Wave Spell. I am podcasting from Blue Overtone Hand proper. Occasionally, I podcast the day prior, but this will be really rich because it's going to be strongly of the moment in discussion. And also, this is a big day for me, so I'm demonstrating how you can have big days. I don't know what your big days are, or I would cite them, but this is the day I gave birth to my first child, my daughter, who is obviously a blue overtone hand. And it's her Mayan birthday, and she doesn't celebrate it, and many people don't. That's fine. You can remind them if you want, and then they'll be confused because she was born on May 25th, and so she won't understand what, it's not my birthday. But we know that it's a 260-day cycle that repeats, and people don't really age in the Zolk'in count through their Mayan birthdays. I guess you could figure out how many Zolk'in counts old you were if you wanted. It doesn't really seem to have anything to do with aging. It has to do with being present with the energy or astrology of your birth. And my daughter happens to be 25, you know, leaning towards 26, which will be her very significant year of birth. When we're 26 and 52, we have really strong astrological returns, or, you know, maybe at 26 for each of us, we're as far away from where we begin at birth as we can be, and then at 52 we come completely home to ourselves. I'm turning 52 in November of the Gregorian count in 2020. And like I said, my daughter is turning 26, so she was born in my 25th year, but I turned 26 with a six-month-old infant. So a lot of significant astrology for me with my child, and even more pointedly, I did not follow the calendar when she was born. I started when she was about six, but she was born on the day that is my exact guide. I'm a blue overtone storm, and blue overtone storm is guided by blue hand, and specifically blue overtone hand. So well before I had any particular interest or placed any importance on the Zolk'in cycles, I gave birth to my first child on the day that exactly guides me, and that is today. So also today, besides the birthday, is a day that exactly guides me. And you have one of those. And also today is exactly guided by somebody I know really well. So I guess they're like my grandpa. They're the guide of my guide. That sounds like a really, actually like a loving Zolk'in Valentine you could make. You're the guide of my guide. So I'm glad to be talking from it. In fact, in terms of the portal of, you know, time of day, I gave birth exactly at this time of day as well. I remember it. It's hard to forget birthing. So I'm playing that back in my mind. It was a great accomplishment. Blue hand is a day of accomplishment. clearly it was an overtone day, which is an energy field that is how I identify myself. I am overtone, so it was cool that I picked a day somewhat. My body coordinated with the tone that was my preeminent comfort zone. And it's been interesting to, I have a couple of blue hand people in my life, my daughter clearly, and then another good friend, and to just connect them to Donald Trump, like, huh, it's interesting. Blue hand that guides me, blue hand that I love, blue hand that is sort of pitted against my belief systems and representing the shadow of American patriotism. So this is a blue hand day. It's not been an easy day. That was my segue to like this last couple of days. I've been swimming along, like I said, that white dog wave spell. Nothing wrong with the white dog wave spell. I mean, it was just massively devotional, had some intimacy, intrigue, identified who I love, how I love, that I love. Of course, my dogs were involved. And then we come to Blue Night. And Blue Night is not a nightmare, as it were. I guess it kind of is. That's a perfect way to describe it. Blue Night is the time of dreaming. We're in this wave spell of dreaming, living in the dream time. We might like to sleep more so that we can experience dreams. Our dreams might be vivid. Our dreams might be significant in some way, telling us things. Our dreams might connect us to people that we don't see. They could have died. They could be no longer in our active lives. They could be people we wish we knew. Or none of that. You know, your dreams could be completely different, but dreams could be focal. And then this notion that life is like a dream, but a dream, life is but a dream, that the way we move through the world in our waking time is going to seem dreamlike. And then, so that does bring us to the nightmare, you know, like, you know, how we're dreaming along and things are fluid and easeful, and then we, like, pivot in our psyche and unearth some horrible traction point of fear, a horror, and that becomes a nightmare. And it doesn't mean we have nightmares right now, but like my dreaming life while waking took a kind of nightmarish turn on the white self-existing World Bridger day, you know, a day of being dealt an ending. You know, it's considered a World Bridger day is considered the death day, but it's the death of limitations. So I was trying to use that practice in my World Bridger day to be like, okay, this is feels like dying, but whatever is dying is something that has been limiting, so I can actually experience this as a liberation, or as Jose Arguelles chose, an opportunity. I think he actually has the three words for World Bridger, just so you know, are death, equalizes, and opportunity. So that can almost be a sentence, that death equalizes opportunity. Death equalizes. We're all equalized by death. And then death is an opportunity. So I remembered that, and then I remember that this day is a teaching day. Because I didn't mention that, you know, I don't have the easiest relationship with my daughter. Two overtone people. A child that's my guide. She teaches me a lot. Doesn't mean she teaches me only harmonious lessons. So, I'm interested in how this blue night wave spell has pivoted from kind of that beautiful equanimity coming out of white dog to having some drama. And then what I haven't mentioned, which is really the crux of my drama, is how are we each in terms of our body and in terms of our dwelling? Because Blue Night is a depiction in the glyph, the hieroglyph from the Maya, of a shelter. It's parting curtains, opening an entrance to something that has like burning coals. And that is where we sleep and dream and are safe. And so all of us can look at this time as a celebration of shelter and issues around appropriate shelter will come up. I have been storytelling more than I desire in my podcasts. I'm not trying to make this about me, but, you know, teaching from the example of my own life, like, I have a really nice home and a very sweet and I would say wealth-oriented part of Southern California. So I'm really lucky, and I wasn't always lucky. Like, it came after a lot of unearthing of dark karma. But, you know, I own this beautiful home. It's not huge, but it's really pretty because time is art is one of our mottos here. And so where I live is like a showpiece of my own artistic expression. But I am on sabbatical from living there, and I've left. I haven't moved far away because of the many dogs that I love. But I don't live in that place. It's rented out, and I live a distance into nature because they also built a home next to my home, which I definitely mention if you're a regular listener. And that was like hell. I was in hell at the end of the cosmic year, into this magnetic year, listening to saws all day long. I couldn't handle it. So I went on sabbatical to a place more rural. And in this wave spell, that whole, what we would call a rental, it just has become so fraught with conflict and constriction. And it's fine because I have a lot of exposure to the rental market being an unfair, unjust kind of motif for sensitive people or, people that want integrity. That the places in the planet where the wealth is the most ramped up often have the worst kind of overlording in terms of the people that own and rent out to others. So there we go. But I'm mentioning it just because I didn't see in this blue night wave spell any reason to have a conceptual ritualistic response to where do I live and is it in wellness. But this wave spell now, synchronically as per usual, is all about, you know, am I in the right home for myself and my, the animals I come with, but mostly more just like, is it integrity for where I am, who I've evolved to be? Is it loving enough after the white dog wave spell? No, it isn't. They're very unloving. And I probably can't make it. And so I'm looking interestingly at this wave spell, like, an exercise in personal restraint is just like, well, the wave spell is a wave, and the topic, the theme, is definitely shelter. It's one of the major aspects of Blue Night. So this is the time within the 260 days Zolk'in, i.e. a 9-month gestation, to see what needs to be worn through in terms of teachings about where I live and how I live. And I'm going to maybe report back. I should, because it's a story that I'm telling. But mostly, I'm just really grateful that I like the Zolk'in so much, because I do, really do. And so it's easier for me to trust the kind of chaotic, nightmarish upsurgence, because I'm like, well, it is the time of housing. So probably this will be resolved if I just ride the wave. And I hope that has some merit for your own experience. What I don't have going on, but you might, is in a parallel estimation. Blue Night, the wave spell or the glyph, the tribe, is about the body. The body as a shelter for our soul or spirit while we are incarnated. It's up at the front end of the Zolk'in. So we start with Red Dragon, which is our mother, the divine mother, and white wind, the divine father, but also that represents going from being in the womb, in utero, with a red dragon, to white wind, which is emerging from the womb and starting our cycle of being oxygenated beings, living in open air and having to take breaths. You know, we're not fed from the mother, we are using our lungs. And then Blue Night is the next day. So it's sort of like individual autonomous inhabitation of the body. We pass from the mother into the father's world, and then we take our own exploratory stance for a lifetime. And so we enter the body, like our soul separates from our parents to a degree enough that we are individuated, and that is also a blue night. So you can notice, I mean, rather than thinking of it as a celebration of autonomy, I wouldn't. I would think of it more in storybook language, like, oh, the shelter, again, that our soul finds for a lifetime in our particular physique, so that we can see about the health and vitality of our bodies also in the blue night wave spell. Perhaps you're having a crisis with your body, whereas I'm having kind of a crisis with my housing. So you would mirror the story I just told you, but it would be about your body. It would still be relevant and really very poetic that our bodies are shelter for our spirit or soul. The resonant moon allows for a lot of psychic ability. So does blue night, because dreaming develops our intuition. Like when we're asleep and we're dreaming, we're having this amazing like visual experience. It almost feels sensual. It has, again, storylines, erratic storylines. All that goes on while we dream, and it helps us recognize when we have visions like that when we're awake. That's what we call intuition. I mean, maybe by some standard, it's all the dream time. It's all the magical unconscious world of the psyche. You know, we have a bunch of different ways to name, describe, label that other world, that surreality. But that's part of blue night, so we are deeply intuitive right now because of blue night, and it's compounded by being in the resonant moon, which is the moon of being resonant, i.e. opening ourselves as a channel between heaven and earth. And a lot of the stuff that comes from heaven feels like, you know, augury, prophecy, or deep perception, spiritual insight, spirituality, just the feeling of connection to an alternate world, invisible world taking form through our imagination. That's another way to describe what intuitive processing is. It's just our imagination, our beliefs are really flexible and fluid. And so we can trust what we see, what we sense in this time. But the word resonant means to be, you know, like a musical instrument with places for things to refract and sound through us. So we are that hollow. We're a shelter of a different kind for like the source, material, divine source. And that goes on for quite a while. We're only on day six, actually. The front end of the resonant moon. But you can see that between the blue night wave spell and the resonant moon, there's a lot, you know, in terms of celebrating. Like I was really interested in identifying how the white dog wave spell is about mammalian love, and you can't deny it. It just is a very special, touching place to be. And blue night and the resonant moon tone are both undeniably places of psychic ability, and that is very special also and magical. You know, one is a really warm-hearted feeling, a very rich physical feeling of being on fire or aglow with appreciation, gratitude, and loyalty. That's white dog. And then right now it's like our minds are on fire, firing, but with the same kind of warmth, illumination. It's just moved to a different chakra. Okay, so then what have I not talked about that would be super important? Well, I think I'll just do my little 3-day forecast, and then things will arise from that, definitely. So today I'm podcasting on Wednesday, and is it not the 15th of January? It is blue overtone hand, 5th day of this blue night wave spell. How can I best empower myself is the overtone question. And blue hand is about accomplishment, knowing, and healing. And Oh God, I know some people are like, why does she talk about politics? Well, I mean, I follow it. It's sort of a survival instinct where I live. It's just like, what's going on? Is it almost over? Checking. But, you know, I'll just say this. Trump was able to push through his weird sort of self-fabricated treaty over tariffs with China on blue overtone hand. And I think that that's like an important facet of being real with the Zolkin, is that even people you don't like or feel afraid of have Zolkin birthdays that indicate that they have positive aspects. Everyone has light and shadow. So I know this about myself. I know as a blue storm that I have, you know, great sort of transformative insight, and I know how to, you know, walk people out of denial and blah, blah, blah. But I'm also really disruptive, prone to anger, way too much energy for bunches of people. So one of those was the light side of Blue Storm, and one was the shadow. And so the reverse is true. People that I absolutely love have shadow sides, and people that I loathe have light sides. So I'm going to give Donald Trump his triumph overtone, pushed his way in through and on his tribal return, coming around to his own day sign. He enacted something that he also set in motion with his insanity, but not taking away that for himself and his voting devotees, it's a huge day. So it's really cool that it's a blue hand day. I'll give the universe that. Now jumping off of politics. Sorry, I can't jump off politics because tomorrow, which is Thursday, and also called January 16th, is Yellow Rhythmic Star, which is Bernie Sanders' Mayan birthday. So we're on the eve of Bernie Sanders' Mayan birthday. I like to use people's Mayan birthdays, my daughter's, Bernie Sanders, as a reminder to you that when your Mayan birthday is coming up, you will be in a pre-birth portal, i.e. squeezed tight in a small cramped space because you've grown so large in the womb over 260 days that it's really uncomfortable to be there. You feel claustrophobic, that you can't move, that you also have this pretty impressive but in some ways super uncomfortable journey in terms of a birth process coming. And that when your Mayan birthday hits, usually there has been discomfort and so forth over the last several days or a couple of weeks. And then things are more liberated and free when you come home to yourself, because coming home is comforting. So we come home to our own birthdays and then we feel renewed. And so we'll see. I will see. I'll see. Maybe I can put my Bernie bumper stickers on Yellow Rhythmic Star. That would be appropriate. It would make sense to me especially, probably to me only. Or is there someone out there that like is going to watch me do it who's like, oh my God, she has no idea that it's his Mayan birthday and she's putting her bumper sticker on. This is unreal synchronicity. I must journal. But Yellow Rhythmic Star is about being really organized. Aha, that's a lot like Bernie Sanders. Rhythmic people are kind of like organizational hounds, and maybe they don't feel as resonant. They don't feel as deep sometimes. Like, are you listening to me? Or are you just like in your organization mode? But they want to create rhythm and organize everything around them. And Yellow Star is that it's two things. I always talk about it this way for the last maybe decade. For the first decade, I just talked about it being a day of beauty. And it might mean that you just look really good. You put on the clothes that are sharpest, the most costume. Doesn't mean the most decadently costume, but you just, you know, innately want to present as beautiful. And that you appreciate beauty on a Yellow Star day. Everything is really sparkling like a star. But about half my Mayan study lifetime ago, I read about Yellow Star in origin the day past Jose Arguelles deeper, straight to the Kishmaya, and I found out, like, it was a celebration of pre-war preparation, you know, when the astrology was such that everyone revered the presence of Venus, which yellow star honors, then it was time, it was called war. That was a sign to go to war. And probably an offensive war, since one is deciding to go to war, not a defensive war. So it's a time for being kind of empowered, but with a purpose of dominance. So I think of yellow star that way now. It's all that beauty, but it's all this power. And it's a kind of an assumption of power and a presentation of power and being showy, like plumage on a bird is for to present to a predator that, no, I'm really bright and big and dangerous. And that's how people would go to war in an ancient time. Maybe now as well, but certainly back in the Mayan day. So take that on in Yellow Star, and maybe if you care about Bernie Sanders, you heard me talk about that. He's not like the prettiest candidate, but there is something kind of charming about how he looks. It's like a iconography. He has a look, but he also is trying to organize empowerment, and he's going to war. So that's Thursday, and then Friday we'll be on a resonant day and a resonant moon. It'll be red resonant moon. Did you catch that tongue twister? Resonant day, resonant moon, called red resonant moon, celebrating the red moon tribe and presaging the red moon wave spell, which will be the next red wave spell 20 days later. It'll be, boy, do you know about this, the quartets, I call them the spirals, they used to be called the castles, I mean, they still are, but I don't call it that, it doesn't make any sense to me, there are no castles in the Mayan world, but the castles, or the spirals, or these quartets of wave spells, there are five sets of them in the Dzogchen. Dzogchen is 20 wave spells, one for each tribe. They are organized red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow. And we are currently in the fourth quartet, fourth spiral. It is oriented to the south because we go red, white, blue, yellow for the first four spirals or quartets. And then the red moon wave spell will be the last, starting the last quartet. Boy, you're going to have to rewind this. And it's in the center. So everything is red, white, blue, yellow, east, north, west, south, east, north, west, south, over and over and over again, days, wave spells, weeks within the moon, the quartets. But then we have this green center of enchantment, the green center of enchantment that will start with red magnetic moon. So not only are we presaging a wave spell to come, but we're presaging this very epic experience that we finished the Dzogchen in 52 days at the center of the medicine wheel, a place that's sort of more nameless and magical again, and it's green, like the heart. Okay, that's Friday. Saturday will be a galactic day, and as some of you know by heart, as it were, the galactic day is always a remembrance of the wave spell that was. So it'll be White Galactic Dog, and it'll be our way of integrating everything we learned about our heart and love with our dreaming and our concepts of shelter, whether it's our home or our bodies. And we'll weave that into this wave spell, and we'll sort of put it to rest. Thank you. Galactic Day is a salutation to something that started in a resonant day. So the resonant, red resonant moon on Friday is the first stage of a full exploration of red moon, the tribe, through its 13-day wave spell. White Galactic Dog on Saturday is the last respects, homage, appreciation of White Dog. And we won't really see it again until we come to White Resonant Dog in the middle of the next Dzogchen. And I'll podcast on Sunday, which will be a solar day. And I want to thank you for listening. I think that there are more listeners than I know. I don't even know where I would find out who's listening. I don't care. It scares me to try to achieve a listener base. I absolutely see the value for us to gather around the iPod, or I don't think anyone has an iPod anymore, around the iPhone or the Samsung or your computer and listen to me talking. But I've had 20 years of daily reverence, and so, you know, I've accumulated some knowledge. I'm here to share it, and I'm here to share. I'm here to open my mouth and speak my truth and my experience about something that is so massively important to me, but doesn't really live large in my daily life. So I appreciate you listening. And if you're new, I would like you to know that I wrote a book that's pretty good that you can find at resonanttruth.com. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, In Lakesh.